Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Have you heard you can listen to your favorite news podcasts ad-free? Good news. With Amazon Music, you have access to the largest catalog of ad-free top podcasts included with your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or visit amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free. And catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So last week, some interesting stuff came out from the National Labor Relations Board. You know, a couple of districts, the district in New York and Brooklyn came out and, you know, against Amazon saying, hey, you got to stop these captive audience meetings. These are bad. Amazon defense found very interesting. But we've always been able to abuse our workers. Why now does it? Why now can't we do it? It was kind of like throwing a little fit. Also, the NLRB came out against Starbucks. Kind of the same thing. Stop beating up on your employees. Allow them to have their voice. Allow them to have their rights. How shocking is that? That, well, our government is doing what it's supposed to do. Just one of those things. Here to share some thoughts on what all of this means, I've asked our good friend Hamilton Nolan to come talk with us. Hamilton is a labor reporter over at In These Times, where he does incredible labor reporting. Hamilton, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me, man. Always happy to be here.
So how big of a deal are these suits and these claims that the NLRB are coming out with? I know that the general counsel has come out and said that these captive audience meetings should not be. They should be considered unfair labor practices. How big of a deal is this, do you think?
It's a really big deal. And Jennifer Abruzzo, who is the general counsel that you mentioned, is really like the single best, you know, official in the entire Biden administration, I think. I mean, the labor world has gotten more from Jennifer Abruzzo in a year and a half than arguably we gotten from the past three Democratic administrations combined. So, I mean, she's doing great things, and it's, you know, the striking thing to me about you mentioned this, you know, the Starbucks suit. They filed a big complaint against Starbucks for a whole laundry list of union busting that they've been doing against the union campaign, you know, and it was I think one of the biggest ones they'd ever filed. And it got a lot of attention. But what was striking to me about it was really all it is the federal government enforcing existing labor law. I mean, and that in and of itself is such a novelty for us to see. It's like, wow, you know, the government is finally enforcing the law that already exists. You know, it's not like she's creating new things out of thin air. I mean, this is just what it looks like for the government to actually enforce the labor law. And you can see how powerful it is and what a bonus it is for organizing drives, you know. And you mentioned the Amazon complaint also, you know, which pertains to captive audience meetings. And, you know, if they outlaw captive audience meetings, that is probably the single biggest union busing tactic that most companies use. I mean, it's the most common way that management intimidates regular workers out of voting for unions. So if the NLRB in fact, you know, makes it known that captive audience meetings are against the law, that's a big, big open door for organizing. And, you know, as you know, like the NLRB is a political body. And if a Republican administration takes over, if Biden doesn't win 2024, we're going to get the mirror image NLRB that hates workers and that tries to break unions. So like, this is another big flashing sign for unions that, you know, we got 2 years and we really need to take advantage of this environment we have right now.
Yeah. And the other part of this is, you know, it shows that the NLRA isn't completely broken, in my view. I have a lot of friends who go, it isn't even worth trying to organize under the NLRA because everything's so badly screwed up and so ossified and just, you know, it's almost not worth doing. This kind of shows a little bit that you go, maybe there's some hope, maybe there's some life, some chance going forward here. Yes, no?
Yeah, obviously. I mean, Jennifer Abruzzo is an attorney. She's not, you know, she's not conjuring things that don't exist. I mean, she obviously is interpreting the NLRA in a much more friendly way for workers. But, you know, what you're talking about is like, that really bugs me so much, man, because what you hear from the labor movement for decades now is like, we need to reform labor law. We need to reform labor law. And obviously, we do need to reform labor law. But in the meantime, we still need to organize, you know, no matter what the labor law is, and clearly it's bad in America, we still have to organize, you know, that's like, we're the fish and that's the sea. We're swimming in the sea and we still got to organize. So I get really tired of like the refrain of like, we got to pass the PRO Act. Like, yeah, we do have to pass the PRO Act, but we haven't reformed labor law significantly in the past half century plus. So like, we can't sit around and act like we don't have a responsibility to organize. Workers want to organize and we need to forge ahead. And particularly when the NLRB is going to look with a friendly eye on the tactics that we can use, we got to do it now.
Yeah, which takes me to the JFK 8, the Amazon victory in Staten Island, and really the captive audience meeting. You know, if you listen to some of the stories of the worker organizers at the JFK 8 plant, you know, they used those captive audience meetings really to their advantage because they went in not as passive, you know, victims. They went in and tried to push back, which I think is, you know, is a tool going forward, regardless, that I think organizers and workers should be using. You educate your workforce and let them know their rights and, you know, build empowered workers to stand up for themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and you see that, I mean, when you have organizing campaigns where you have a core of workers who are really passionate and who are really pushing the union and who feel bold enough and brave enough to do that, you know, you'll see that in captive audience meetings. I mean, that's been done a lot of different industries where workers will come into the meeting and stand up and really challenge the union buster and talk about the lies that they're telling and make it a showcase, you know, for actually the value of unions. But I mean, still, if you think of all the captive audience meetings that happen in the whole country, I mean, everywhere is not going to be fortunate enough and well organized enough and brave enough to have people willing to stand up in those settings, you know, especially really people with really tenuous jobs. So, you know, captive audience meetings work, and that's why union busters use them, and that's why management uses them. So if we could outlaw them, or even if, you know, it becomes a thing where it's like you have to give the union equal time, which might amount to outlawing them, either one would be great.
Yeah. Now, I look at Amazon now. I love their defense. Now, obviously, they're filing, you know, every charge they can and every suit they can to hold off on having to negotiate in Staten Island. But I love the response that, you know, to the captive audience meeting thing, which was, you know, but we've been doing this for decades. The defense was, we've always done it this way, which I kind of thought was interesting.
It's true. You know, they're telling the truth, at least. Like, we have been breaking people's arms for decades. I mean, the funny thing also about Amazon was that their complaint, that the challenge that they issued after the election was literally that the NLRB itself, you know, was so pro-union that it tainted the election, which is, I think, a pretty novel challenge. And, you know, it goes to show, like, when you read a lot of, when you read labor history and you read, like, Eric Loomis' book or other good books about labor history, they really talk about how much the success of organizing is tied to who's in the government, you know, and you can see that so vividly today, like finally having a pro-labor administration makes it so much easier. And you can, you know, you can think through a lot of the big campaigns that are happening now and say, you know, how would these have gone with a really hostile NLRB? And, you know, some of those places, you might not have the wins that we have today.
Yeah. Had the former guy won, would we be seeing the kind of victories we're seeing now? I know we wouldn't have seen Christian Smalls and the organize and the Starbucks workers and all those folks at the White House the other day, which interestingly enough, Starbucks was kind of upset about.
I saw that they sent an angry sort of offended sounding letter, like, why, you know, which was, you met with our workers, but you didn't meet with us, which, you know, I don't recall hearing that complaint every time CEOs go to the White House. You know, I mean, they don't usually feel obligated to invite the unions every time a business person visits the White House. So, you know, Howard Schultz is like, just, I think, I mean, I didn't like Howard Schultz to begin with, obviously. Probably people in our specific demographic of people who listen to this show might not be the biggest Howard Schultz fans. But, you know, he was like a respected person in the mainstream. And I feel like he's just tearing his whole legacy to shreds right now.
I was never a Howard Schultz fan, especially the fact that, you know, had Hillary Clinton won in 2016, there was talk, and I don't know how much it was accurate, but there was talk he could have been Secretary of Labor. And now, yeah, you know, looking at this and going, not great.
No, I mean, that factoid is like the most, you know, the single best illustration of the difference between, you know, neoliberalism and Bernie Sanders winging the party, man.
Yeah.
Howard Schultz as labor secretary, and 4 years later, he's hit with one of the biggest union busting complaints the NLRB's ever done, man.
You're listening to the Rick Smith Show here with Hamilton Nolan. Hamilton's a labor reporter over at In These Times. We'll get links out on how you can check out the incredible reporting he does. Now, I wanted to get your thoughts on, evidently, two more Amazon workers were fired today, today or recently. Not sure 100% why they were fired. I guess one extended some leave for COVID. Another, they claim something about productivity, I'm sure had something to do with their union organizing thing. Also saw a story about how Amazon fired a bunch of their managers recently because, well, they allowed the people to organize. I find that even more disturbing, because the message to every management person is, if you allow your workers to organize, if you don't break those workers, you're going to be fired. I think that's not great either.
No, it's not great. And, you know, there are companies, and I've reported on companies that have in the contracts for their managers that they will get their salaries cut significantly if a union forms at their store. So, I mean, that kind of thing is out there, but it is very... You know, I think even without knowing the specific details of the case of every person who was fired, I mean, what it does say is that these companies like Amazon still are not scared to do such a thing. You know, they're clearly not. They're not like, well, we have to be careful. You know, they're not like, well, eyes are on us, and so we have to be very careful about how we treat our employees because the regulators are watching. Like, they don't think that at all. They're just firing people left and right with impunity. And, you know, just another thing that happened today was Starbucks, was the NLRB just told Starbucks they have to reinstate the Memphis 7, the seven workers that they had fired in Memphis, which was another example of like a really high profile organizing campaign that people are watching and the press is watching and everybody's watching. And the company felt complete impunity to fire these workers, which to me is just such an illustration of how low we've sunk in terms of enforcement of labor law. I mean, companies have no fear at all of, it's easier for them to just fire people. And then if by some crazy chance they get caught or get any consequences, you know, they'll roll the dice.
And this is where the penalties for such a thing are so pathetically low that it's the incentive. There's no disincentive. If the union busters are advising them properly, firing someone is in their best interest because, again, there aren't any penalties, really. A little slap on the wrist, maybe post the dreaded notice. Oh, we might not do it again. That's about it.
Yeah, I mean, a good management side attorney will tell a company that is it is, as you said, in their interest to basically do unfair labor practices because the penalties are, A, are so small, and B, are so hard to get. I mean, you know, it can take years to get a notice hung up in the break room. I mean, so it really is legitimately in the interest of companies to just essentially ignore labor law, retaliate against workers for organizing, fire union organizers, lie to workers. I mean, because we've gone so many decades without any serious penalties. And again, like it's nice to see Jennifer Abruzzo kind of making the NLRB a true enforcement agency again. But we also have to think about the worst case scenario of if that doesn't last long. I mean, we have to be able to operate in an environment when the government doesn't have our back also.
No, you're right. And you brought that up earlier. You know, if you know, the political winds change, which look, you know, the Republicans are trying to position themselves as now the party of we care about workers, which is kind of weird because it's not really who they are. I mean, you know, Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz have tried to be, oh, we care about working people. We care about this a little bit without actually doing anything. And you've got a new piece out recently, you know, talking about this stuff. And the one part that you wrote, the people that control things understand that this is all theater and that the Republican legislative agenda is resolutely pro-capital and anti-labor. And I think working people need to understand that no matter what the Cruzes and the Rubios and any of the Republicans throw out, they're still on the side of the moneyed interests against the working people. And all of the culture war stuff, all of the gay marriage, all of the abortions, it's still about the money. It's still about us getting ripped off.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you know, it's definitely true that you've seen a shift in the rhetoric of the Republican Party or of the factions of the Republican Party since the Trump era. You know, Trump was the quote unquote blue collar billionaire, and you know, the term populism gets thrown around a lot, which I think is a really sort of bad term that doesn't actually describe what's happening. You know, so there is this kind of rhetoric coming out of the right wing now of we're the party of the people, we're the party of the rural working class, the Democrats are the party of the elite. And you've seen things like Ron DeSantis in Florida's sort of anti-corporate, very public, like showy attacks on corporations like Disney for being quote unquote woke. I mean, it's all political theater. And you know, whenever people talk about the kind of like realignment of the parties, my response is always, what are the policies? You know, what are the policies? I mean, how many Republicans are sponsoring the PRO Act, right? There's zero political substance behind any of this rhetoric. And I think that, you know, the people in the political world know this, and certainly the Republicans know it. The Republicans know who their donors are. And Ted Cruz and Ron DeSantis absolutely know that this is all for show. But you know, for voters, you can get fooled. So, I mean, what I said in that piece that you mentioned was just that the Democrats need to lean into this and say, you know, if you want to be anti-corporate, we love to be anti-corporate, man. If you want to take away Disney's tax breaks, like, let's do it. Let's take away all the corporate welfare. You know, if you want to crack down on Amazon, we are all in favor of cracking down on Amazon. Let's raise corporate taxes. You know, let's tax great wealth. Let's redistribute that money to the working class that you talk about. All these policies that you will never see. I mean, as soon as you ask the Republicans to put up or shut up, they're going to have to shut up.
Yep. No, absolutely. Which is why I think it's important our working class brothers and sisters understand that, that it is political theater and it is all just a show for them to well, continue to tag the party line. But Hamilton, I appreciate the time. Appreciate the work you do. Hope you'll come back again real soon. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me, Rick. Appreciate it.
Good stuff. Hamilton Nolan, labor reporter over at In These Times. Make sure you check out the work he does over at In These Times. Going to take a quick break right back after this. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. If you're just joining us, make sure you grab the podcast. Never miss an episode. Subscribe, share, comment, all of that. Also, you can email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Hate email goes to the top, as always. Back after this.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.